fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we go, a minute past the hour on this, the 28th day of September, 2016, and we are off and running at the horn. Yes, indeed, it is. We got tonight, Thursday, and Friday, that's it for September. Running downhill to beat the Swede, and, we got a fighting chance. We really, really do. Now, to be fair, we've got a $480 fundraising goal this evening because we've been battling against the hole all week long. But there's good news because this is doable. We have a $480 fundraising hole, but courtesy of Chris in Germany, we have a matching challenge of $200. Okay? Now, that's tremendous. That's humongous. All right, so your 200 becomes 4. Your 100 becomes 2. Your 50 becomes 100. Your 25-50. Your 12-50 becomes 25. Any way you slice it, when you've got a $200 matching challenge on the table, and concurrently, we've got two more slots open, two more membership slots in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society subscription challenge. So that, courtesy of Harold, president and CEO of Sochtris, the next two brand new subscribers get their subscriptions increased by $5 a month, $60, for the coming year. You kind of got to stay with it for a year, but for if you make a $5 subscription, Sochtris will turn it into a $10 subscription. If it's a 10, it'll become a 15. It's a 15, it'll become 20. Okay? And so there's two of those remaining. This is a very big deal. So between those two things, we should be able to knock down and fill in this hole. And you know, I simply implore people not to let a matching challenge like that go by the boards. And I'll try to do a good job of letting folks know if we're getting close. But, you know, that's awesome. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very kindly. I guess what? It's Wednesday, so we'll cross ourselves, cross our fingers, cross our toes, mutter something in an ancient language. What? But it is Wednesday. Oh, yes, brethren and sistren, it's Wednesday, and we all know here at the Horn, Wednesdays are ever so much more than just the middle of the week, just hump day, just downhill to Friday, just downhill to the end of the month. Oh, no, because, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Oh, and I want to tell you, we had us a lovely, lovely, lovely dinner there in the fellowship hall. Little old blue-haired ladies with the, you know, there's something beautiful about a blue-skied day in autumn. It's almost a zen sort of thing. Because the beauty of the clear blue sky and the cooling temperatures creates a sort of je ne sais quoi. it's both lovely and heartbreaking at the same time, because you know that the year is failing. You know that we're heading toward winter. We're headed toward, you know, now that we're past the equinox, we're headed toward the shortest day of the year. Each day becomes a little bit shorter. But there's a light, there's a quality of the slanting light that happens this time every year that is just, it's magical. And it frankly, it got all over the little old blue-haired ladies in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. I kid you not, brethren and sistren. And we had some beautiful fried chicken. We did. And we had we had some green beans. We did. Sweet potato pie, yes. And we had little itsy-bitsy tiny potato latkes. Okay, here's what happened. The little old blue-haired ladies went a little sideways with their autumn magnificence, and went out to Bojangles and just loaded up for everybody. And we found out something new and wonderful. They got these little hash brown rounds thingies that have some onion minced into them that they call bow rounds. But damned if you don't, if you combine them with a little bit of applesauce and or sour cream, they're tiny potato latkes, and they're absolutely delicious. Hot diggity. So we filled up, and the little fried sweet potato pies are nothing to be sneezed at, or in the case of Donald Trump, sniffed. And so the deacons seemed well satisfied as they trundled their massive bulk up the stairs and out into the parking lot where they stood a-smoking with the sinners. Mm-hmm. And there they stood, huffing and a-puffing away, until such time as Sister Carol Baker, with her, she's upgraded the cattle prod again. It's now a solar-powered cattle prod. No more batteries. I mean, there's a battery in it, but the battery is permanent, and it charges, and just leaves it sitting out there in the blazing Hooterville sun, and it will put the fear of the Almighty, it will put the fear of the Eternal in any deacon. She gave it a wave, and away they went running, right through the vestibule doors, past that newly desiccating bowl of butter mints. Here, about 2 months on now, the bowl of butter mints is desiccating quite nicely, I must add. And they're waiting down here, down front, as we go to take a nibble. No, let's take a great big bite out of the deficit so we can beat the Swede at the end of the month for 9 straight months, brethren and sistren. They're waiting. They got those heavy, heavy brass collection plates with the glued in burgundy velvet and the PayPal button in the bottom. For those of you who prefer to use the United States Postal Service, you know, you can mail it in. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Just let me know so I can give Boss Man Bishop Wayne the heads up. Uh-huh. Yeah, just do that. And so, in the meantime, brethren and sistren, I will call the minister of music forward for our offertory hymn, brethren and sistren, with every head bowed, ha, glory, and every eye closed. Just pass that plate along until we've got the deficit filled in, and we can pay those middle of the month bills and be starting to hope and pray for the first of the month ones, and just keep things rolling right along. Yes, indeed, brethren and sistren. $480 to go with a $200 matching challenge on the table. Oh, can we do it? Can we get a prayer meeting Wednesday, end of September, miracle? It's all up to you, brethren and sistren. All up to you. So, brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hot sut, Ralston on the Rillera, and a brawl, a brawl, a suet. Ha! Glory. I love you. Amen, amen. Welcome, brethren and sister. And ha! And I'm telling you right now, brethren and sister, the Spirit is upon me this evening. I'm calling on you to get up off of your seat, onto your feet. Come on out from the pews and then come on down that blood red aisle and fall. Ha! Glory. Amen. Fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. Ha! And feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you, amen, from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Maximum Metropolitan, Vicarious Vicar, Bob Kincaid. And heck, glory, this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn, when we will discern, amen, hallelujah, we will discern the movement of the Holy Spirit all across this benighted, hell-bound land of ours, so deeply in need of salvation. Amen and amen. Brother and sister, and the plate went around. Thank you very kindly to Brother Usher, Steve, and Brother Clarence. We're on our way. Only $170 to go to meet Sister Chris's $200 challenge from far Germania. Amen, hallelujah. Ain't God good? Glory. Brethren and sisters, we'll just keep the plates a-passing. What you did with all that sweet tea during fellowship hall, fellowship dinner, well, that's on you. Just make sure it don't get on the carpet. Blood red carpet is mighty expensive to clean. And yes, brother Usher Steve, I did say it had a zen quality. Did you mention a sky, brother Usher Steve says that the real God made was zen? Why is it you're mentioning that anti-God about the real God's blue sky? Oh, I tell you what, we got to encompass all the faiths. I got to come up with something alliterative for to be a guru, and something alliterative for being a yogi, so I can add that to my string of titles. We're trying to be ecumenical, brethren and sister, and you understand, here we are. Amen and amen. Worlds without end. Brethren and sisters, just to let you know, there are developments going on, not just in Christianity. That's why we got to be ecumenical. There are big doings. There are big doings out in the cults too. Oh yes, there are. Yes, there are, brethren and sisters. The women folks is a getting uppity out amongst the Mormons. That's right. That's right. The sister wives and the sister sisters and the sister cousins and the sister mother-in-laws are all big. They's pressuring against the holy order that God has ordained on earth, even for his cults, you know, from out there. Where he dictates stuff from planet Kolob. Yes, indeed, brethren and sisters. when you're a Mormon, then the way you spell that is M-O-R paren M close paren O-N. So you can read it as either Mormon or moron, depending on how you prefer your religion. They got something out there in that cult called the Personal Progress Workbook. And this is something that this is for like your spiritual study, and it's for Mormon girls, and it's all about teaching them how to be virtuous so they can grow up and be good sister wives, and it cites a verse from their special book, the one that was translated, Joseph Smith translated it from golden plates that he dug up on a hill in Elmira, New York or somewhere, and he translated them by looking through the Ummim and the Thummim, the seeing stones. He looked through rocks, he put the rocks in his hat, and he looked through the hat, and that's how he translated it. No, really, I'm not kidding. They believe this. But one of the things that a girl has to study in her personal progress workbook comes from Moroni 9-9. 9. 9-9. And in Moroni 9-9, it says, "For behold, many of the daughters of the Lamanites have they taken prisoners, and after depriving them, of that which was most dear and precious above all things, which is chastity and virtue." So be careful if you're one of them laminated women, all right? But the uppity women have taken to making a stink inside that cult because they don't like little girls being told that the most precious thing they have is whether or not they done had sexy time. They're later, Arthur. Arthur says, and the sister Methorfisters and the crystal Methodists. Crystal burgers. Now I'm hungry, Brother Bob. You got to stay focused here, Arthur. Got to stay focused. Over here. I'm over here. Look. So an uppity woman named Christine Hagland she's been getting uppity, and she has been a shrew and a common scold to the leaders of the Mormon cult, which were appointed by their God who lives on a planet called Kolob. And She's pushed at them until now. Little Mormon girls don't have to be worried about whether they're laminated, and they don't have to hold most dear and precious above all things their chastity and their virtue. Mm-hmm. Cause see, if you're a Mormon and you're female, and you get legitimately raped, and your body doesn't, and her body doesn't shut that thing down, well, it's your fault. It's your fault, future sister wife. For instance, note the tale of woe of one young woman who was subjected to rape at Brigham Young University, where they have an honor code that requires women to remain chaste. Apparently, in this case, she was chaste and caught. Oh, different chaste, sorry. When Brigham Young University found out that she had been raped, they sent her a letter. And the letter said, "You are being suspended from Brigham Young University because of your violation of the honor code, including continued illegal drug use and consensual sex, effective immediately." That's right. If a woman gets raped, according to Brigham Young University and the high exalted 33rd degree noble lumpkins who are their prophets, if a woman gets raped, she has been engaged in consensual sex and violated the honor code of Brigham Young University. Mm-hmm. And so by virtue of all this here agitation against the natural and lawful leadership of the menfolk, the uppity sister wives say that they're going to quit forcing little girls to read from Moron I-99 about the precious chastity and virtue of the daughters of the laminated, and thus does a culture collapse. Jim would like to know where Kolob is. Where is it in the planetosphere? I cannot locate it. Well, that's because you don't have a hat and some rocks to look through. Jim, don't be using your sciencey stuff and your telescopes. You can't see it that way. You got to hold your hat up just right and have your seeing rocks in it. But see, if the devil has got a hold of you, you won't hold your hat right and the rocks will come out and whack you on the noggin, because they're heavy, hard rocks and they're kind of egg-shaped and they hurt. So you only find out where Kolob is after you die. By the way, we got an announcement for the faithful, courtesy of Brother Deacon Asa. Dear Brother Bob, if it ain't too much trouble, please announce to the faithful, Brother Deacon Gerald and I are chilling some strychnine and warming up some serpents down here in the fellowship hall. Any of the brethren and sistren can come down after the sermon if they're so inclined. Please don't forget to bring your credit cards. Hallelujah and amen. You know, some people like their strychnine room temperature, but you definitely want your serpents chilled down to where they're a mite sluggish, and sometimes you can dodge them when they go to strike. Yes. So, yeah. So we got that. We got upheaval against the natural order of things over there in the Mormon cult. What else, though? Plenty. It's it's that time of year. And the annual and much underreported, this might be one of them nominations for Project Censored, because every year it happens and nobody ever hardly reports on it except maybe us. The annual war on Halloween has begun. led, of course, by none other than former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson. Marion is right worked up again. He gets this way every year. About your Halloween festivities. You might recall it was going on toward Halloween, and you know we're barely a month away from it, so that doesn't leave the right wing a hell of a lot of time for waging their annual war on Halloween. But Marion, it was about this time last year that we started hearing about Gator, the golden retriever who barked at blow-up spiders. I wonder if Gator will make another appearance. One never knows. Yes, sir, that was some good sweet tea. So let's check in. Lest we all imperil our immortal souls, as well as the immortal lasts and shanks and heels and whatnot, lest we imperil our immortal souls, let's check in with former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson, offering some spiritual counsel about your Halloween celebrations.
This next one is from Diane, who says, every year I let my teenage son go with friends to a Halloween event at a local theme park. I just learned that they have a haunted house based on Satan and demons. Apparently, there are girls in suggestive demon outfits selling drinks, techno music, and even a demon DJ who encourages people to dance. I know my son is a good boy, and he will be disappointed if I don't let him go. How can I make him understand that keeping him away is the best thing for him?
Well, you got to tell him the truth. I mean, explain to him who the devil is. Explain to him the devil wants to destroy you. The devil, you know, seeks who he may devour. He's out to kill you. Yeah. And he's going to put everything nice in your way that's going to seem like fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But the answer is, mother, don't let your babies grow up to be demon worshipers, if I can quote from Willie Nelson.
I don't think that's a quote from Willie Nelson there, Marion. I think that was Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys. And, of course, being as... Marion, why are you quoting from Willie Nelson? He smokes the demon doobie. The marijuana of... Oh, I need an M word here. Where's my psychics when I... damn it. But he does. He does. Daggummit. Where's this party? Hold on. It's a haunted house based on Satan and demons. And there are girls in suggestive demon outfits. I don't know what. I'm gonna have to have a little help here. What is a suggestive demon? And where do you get their outfits? I'm using my imagination. My imagination's done gone into overdrive here, and I'm just trying to figure out what a... So there are no boys in suggestive demon outfits? And what does a suggestive demon do? No, really. When you're sitting there playing solitaire, does the suggestive demon come by and say, no, play the red three? I don't know. See, Pat Robertson knows ever so much more about your demonology and what your demons do, because his world's just chock full of them, suggestive demons. I mean, is that a demon that kind of doesn't work blue but sort of works the edges of it? You know, doesn't say things right. Just a lot of innuendo. Is that? And they sell drinks. The suggestive demon, the girls in suggestive demon outfits. They sell drinks and tech. And are they selling techno music, or are they just listening to and a demon DJ? Yeah, well, I mean, a demon DJ would have to be pretty hot. See what it did there? And the demon DJ encourages people to dance. And we all know what happens when you dance. The devil, and in this case I do not mean Hillary Rodham Clinton, enters through the soles of your feet and just gets on up to, and you begin your frenzy and shimmying do you see that? Well, apparently there was a demon in Hillary Clinton Monday night. Did you see her a shimmying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, anybody shimmies, you know they got a demon. Okay. That's pretty suggestive. That doesn't look like a suggestive demon, Sparky. That looks more like your outright demon. I think we're needing something a little more subtle. Yes. You're right, Marty. It's Footloose all over again. And has anybody even seen Kevin Bacon? I don't know. But there is pleasure in sin for a season. All up, 53 years on this planet, and nobody ever told me when sin season was. I miss so much. I love that joke. What about a come as your favorite hymn party? Well, that's where Mama needs to be sending her boys. Come as your favorite hymn. Mm-hmm. Let the lower lights be burning. Yeah. Maybe Jim will tell that story again someday. Yeah, and there they are, as Arthur points out. They walk up to you, one of them suggestive demons. Is that a figurine of Baphomet in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me? I guess that's what a suggestive demon does. But it's a dangerous world out there. Let's get back to it, shall we?
He may devour. He's out to kill you. Yeah. And he's going to put everything nice in your way that's going to seem like fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season. But the answer is, mother, don't let your babies grow up to be demon worshipers, if I can quote from William Nelson. Mm-hmm. Don't let them do it. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. And you say, look, no, I'm sorry. Or better than that, there needs to be alternative Halloween celebrations in churches where they have all the games and all the fun and all the nice pretty girls and all the handsome boys and all that. They all come together and they're praising the Lord instead of worshiping Satan. But Halloween has become a night when the devil rejoices. All right.
Will there be apple bobbing? Apple bobbing. And is that... Isn't that a little satanic? No. What? No, they'll do the apple. But see, they're at the alternative Halloween. So, but if it's alt Halloween, isn't it still Halloween? Yeah. Right. Maybe. But what they'll do is they'll do the apple bobbing in holy water, so that if there's any suggestive demons there, they'll immediately catch fire when they stick their faces in the holy water. Oh, I think we've got a strategery here. But the world is a dangerous place, brethren and sister, and it is. And there's all kinds of... And even if you got good-looking girls and good-looking boys going to the... Well, what of the nerds? What of the nerd boys and the nerd girls? Well, they're still in danger too, brethren and sister, and they are... They are.
This is a viewer who says, my husband's been playing an online game with other people, and the game includes elements of witchcraft. He doesn't think it's bad, but since he started playing the game, my daughters and I have witnessed really weird things happening in our home.
The Cheetos have all disappeared overnight. There ain't a Frito left, and not even the bag to be seen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. and all of all, our entire supply of Coca-Cola, it's vanished.
We've anointed the house. How do I pray for my husband, and how do I convince him that he's bringing bad things into our home? He gets angry when I bring it up.
Well, that's because he's got a demon in him, probably a suggestive one. I suggest you get angry when she brings up the... Yes.
Well, I think you need to get a senior person. Maybe you can find a minister or some trusted advisor who would tell him this is a problem. There was a game called Dungeons and Dragons that people got into. They got into role-playing. The next thing you know, they were in a fantasy world that really captured them. So it is demonic. Demons are out to destroy you. And your husband needs to understand that.
Never mind people in the real world that can actually destroy you. I mean, we elect Donald J. Trump, millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht, president of the United States. There's going to be a shit ton of people get destroyed. But watch out for your Dungeons and Dragons and your online game playing with your witchcraft in it, all right? Why can't there be a nice Christian game down at the church where, there is one? By Jove, there is one. Why didn't he tell her to start playing the Left Behind game? You know, the one where you get extra points for shooting down homosexuals. That's a good Christian game. Sure. If we're going to have suggestive demons running all over the place, we kind of need some suggestive Christians out there, too. Just suggest the Left Behind game. Right. Yes. It is a dangerous and demon-haunted world, brethren and sisters. I mean, there you are, rolling your 36-sided die, trying to find out if you can cast a spell as a neutral good dwarf against an evil bad 72nd level hangnail, and then you get a and that's when the demon comes and then your wife has to. It's got to be a little slick in their house, don't you reckon? Seeing how she's anointed the whole damn house. I mean, I'm surprised he don't get afflicted with the demon of the lumbago there when he slips on the anointed floor. Zip. Banana peel hell. Yeah. But brethren and sistren, the demons are everywhere. And I was just joshing a couple of minutes ago, but it's true. It's true. Donald Trump has done been warned that the forces of the adversary are going to be allied against him. And of course, ain't nobody got demons like that fake Methodist Hillary Clinton has demons.
These are Hillary's thoughts. I mean, if you really dig into what she's saying here, she's saying Christians who believe the Bible, forget about Donald Trump, forget about half of Trump's supporters. She's talking about you, the viewer of this program on the National Religious Broadcasters Network, on Pray in Jesus' Name News. If you believe the Bible, Hillary deplores you.
Even though she has never said that. See, that's how powerful your demons can be. You don't even have to say something, but pastor, brother, minister, disgraced reverend chaplain Chappie Klingenschmidt over here can perceive, because he's got the powers of Holy Spirit perception. He can perceive that you got a demon in you. And that you're deploring people that you've never said you deplored. Because most people don't have that Bible translation that talks about the gift of deplorability perception. But it's there. It's there. Especially if you get up above level 40 and you're a good elf mage. Yeah, Christian, of course.
Now, those are just the facts. let's discern the spirits. Let's take a moment and say, what is it inside of Hillary that makes her deplore us? She's
inside of her. It's got to be something inside of her. It's not the behavior of the Gordon Klingenschmitz who suggests that trans people should be killed and that the people who are LGBTQ, QQI, that they should be denied the same civil rights that the rest of America enjoys. It's nothing they do. It's something that's inside her. It's not the fact that they want to deny shitty Indiana pizza to a gay wedding. It's something inside Hillary.
Labeling an entire category of people as we're deplorable, does that mean she deplores us? Does that say something about what's inside of her? Not what's inside of us. She's labeled a whole category of people, but what is inside of her but the spirit of hatred? This demonic, evil spirit of hatred and deploring is not inside of us. It's inside of her toward us. And her behavior, her hatred, makes her a very hateful woman. A very deploring woman.
And you know, it says right there in the Holy Bible, suffer not a deploring woman to live. It does. At least in the fetid and busy mind of Chappy Gordon Klingenschmitt. Huh. What are you going to do? Well, pray in Jesus' name, according to... According to Chappie.
Do you see it inside of her? Can you look inside of her and say, well, that must be a Christian woman?
Is it a suggestive demon, Chappie? Is it? Is there techno music involved and drinks? Because see, this is one of the more troubling aspects of right-wing Hillary hate. That woman, and granted, if you are a hardcore, hard-shell Southern Baptist type, you might think that she is hell-bound for this, but, I mean, I remember when I went to the fellowship hall many, many years ago, one of the deacons walked in, true story, and it was setting to rain outside. One of the deacons walked in and looked at the other deacon, and he said, well, looks like we got us a Methodist rain going on outside. And the other deacon looked at him and said, what do you mean by that, brother? And he said, it's just a sprinkle. Because, see, Baptists look down on Methodists because Baptists are full immersion. Unless everything gets wet, you could have some unsaved parts of you. You stick that toe up, that toe ain't going to heaven. That toe has not had its sins remitted. Mm-mm, no, we got to have full immersion, brethren and sisters. So, the Methodists might be demon-inspired and going to hell. You just can't tell. God damn it. Yeah, and there they were. It was last week, I think, on the program when we ran the audio of Donald J. Trump, millionaire who owns a mansion and a yacht and a plane, getting hands laid on him there at the Apostolic Bible Banging God Bothering Conference in Cleveland, Ohio. Ohio! Mike Pence was standing there right behind him. Of course, he's a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, and homosexual. He sure is. And Sister Jude wanted to make sure that I reminded folks of that. He's had hands laid on him, the healing hands of faith. God only knows how much Trump charged him for the privilege. But brethren and sister, that's the problem. See, Hillary is proud of what a Methodist she is, and she says that her faith guides her decisions. But that's not enough for Chappie, because she doesn't hate the right people. She doesn't hate the same people he hates. Because Chappie's Christianity is defined by hatred. Now, Hillary believes all the same things that Chappie believes. She believes that God raped a little girl, and that the little girl who got raped gave birth to God's only begotten son, who had his little part of his little schmeckle cut off 7 days after he's born. And they fled into Egypt, and he grew up, and he had a ministry when he turned 30, even though he hadn't got married, which was really weird in that culture, but never mind, that's for another day. And that he was crucified and killed, and that he rose from the dead, and he preached for 40 days, and then he flew off up into heaven, where he resides at the right hand of God, and died for all our sins. Hillary believes that. Chappie believes that. But Hillary she's not a Christian. Because she got demons. Mm-hmm. She got demons.
Loves Jesus, who loves the Bible, and even loves her enemies. People like evangelical Christians that she disagrees with. She loves us. No, she deplores us. By her own confession now, she is manifesting the spirit.
No, dumbass, this is another one of those moments when we have to have some art of word knowing going on. Actually, she said she puts them in her basket of deplorables. Roughly half of Donald Trump's supporters go into her basket of deplorables. That does not necessarily mean that, I mean, you could be mistakenly in the basket of deplorables. But to be deplorable is not the same as saying, I deplore them. Huh? Huh? See, that art of word knowing comes in handy sometimes. They're deplorable. They are not deplored. We're talking about two different grammatical functions of the verb to deplore. Brother Deacon Asa with a point of theology here. Methodist going to hell? If I remember correctly, Dim Leader is a Methodist, ain't it? Dim Leader are a Methodist, but I don't know. He might be Baptist by adoption or some such, because remember the Methodists didn't want him to start his war of choice against the innocent people of Iraq and kill a million innocent Iraqi civilians. The Methodist Church said, no, George, in the name of John Wesley, don't do that. And he said, fuck Saddam, we're taking him out. And the Southern Baptist Church said, that's fine with us, George, because Peter owned a sword. I remember it well. Yep. But words mean things. And just because one is deplorable does not mean one is deplored. Sometimes, even though you're in the basket of deplorables, maybe she prays over you that you'll get over your deplorability. And it does not mean she deplores them. Complicated, ain't it?
Of hatred. And that makes her anti-Christian. I know she goes to a Methodist church. She says she's a Christian. But no, the Bible says this in 1 John 4. Hillary, if you say you love God and you hate or deplore your brother, you are a liar.
No, see, hating is not the same as deploring. In the New King James Version, it says hate. It doesn't say deplore. There's no parentheses or deplore. He's adding words to the book, which immediately casts him, according to the book of Revelations, into the lake of everlasting fire, which has been made for the devil and his angels. Mm-hmm.
For God does not love, he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?
Hillary. Yeah, there's some unimpeachable logic from 1 John 4:20. 4:20? Huh? And he's broadcasting from Colorado? Really? Demons.
or you've seen us and you hate us, so how can you claim to love God who you've never seen?
Notice how we kind of seamlessly went from deploring to hating? Now I noticed that.
Let's pray about this.
Oh boy, do not pray, or you're liable to get you one of them suggestive demons. No, no, Bishop Usher Steve is trying to start a schism within the congregation here. Bishop Usher Steve says, Dim Leader is a heathen episcopal, and Jeb is a papist. No, no, no. He was raised a good whiskey episcopal, but he converted to Methodism when he got sprinkled. I don't know if they had to resprinkle or if they just let the whiskey pallion sprinkle and stand, but it, yeah, and Arthur, I'm there too. Hillary's explicitly mentioned in the Bible. Wow. Well, what do you think they meant by whore of Babylon, Arthur? Damn, open your eyes for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, amen. Here comes the praying. Look out. I mean, just kind of cast it. Just, you know, I don't know, ground yourself or something in case, you know, the lightning or whatever.
Father in heaven, we do pray in Jesus' name for a deliverance for Hillary Clinton from this demonic spirit of hatred of her brother, hatred deploring of her fellow man. Father, she hates us, but we return her hatred with love. And Hillary...
Yeah, because couldn't you just sense all the love that was just... and that was that, and that, now understand, that wasn't none of that Greek Eros love, nor none of that Philadelphia love. That was your agape love, your agape love, your agape love, your agave syrup love. Yes, and if your agave syrup begins to ferment, you wind up with the drunk making Ockley. And, well, there's demons in that, just saying. But can't you just, I mean, don't you just feel the love just sort of oozing out all over? I mean, just love, oh, he loves her.
Spirit of hatred of her brother, hatred deploring of her fellow man. Father, she hates us, but we return her hatred with love. And Hillary, we love you and we bless you. You curse us, you deplore us, but we return your...
So now cursing is the same as deploring. Well, behold, in my father's mansion, deploring has many meanings. Some bitch. I mean, next thing you know, deploring's gonna mean, I don't know, bilgewater or mother-in-law. I can't keep up. That wasn't it for Chappie. Because you know somebody Chappie really hates? Chelsea Manning. That poor soul is rotting away in solitary in Leavenworth. And all Chappie can think about is what is or ain't between the legs of Chelsea Manning. What? I mean, I think he's beginning to make me think they is demons, and I think there's a whole host of them living right inside his shiny little noggin.
Let's take a moment and discern the spirits.
Oh shit, we're gonna have some spirit discerning. Everybody get your special hat.
Let's take a moment and discern the spirits. Now here you have this man, young man, wanted to serve his country. Good for him. Gave him a security clearance. Big mistake. Because he betrayed his country by giving away 700,000 military secrets to WikiLeaks?
You know, including the ones that kind of told the world that we were actively engaged in the committing of war crimes in the Iraq, which makes him, see how easy? Makes her, Chelsea Manning, a hero in the eyes of people who oppose things like, you know, war crimes and crimes against humanity.
Okay, so he's being tried for that, and then he takes a left turn. Then he decides that he's a woman, because maybe he feels like a woman inside. But is that really a woman inside of him? Or is it a demonic spirit?
Ta-da! It's a demon. It's a transgender demon with a big feather boa and some CFM pumps and a short skirt and damn, I'll bet that's one of them suggestive demons. Note coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. I'm feeling something, Bob. Feeling like I want to throw the fuck up with Jappy's chapstick and hatred wrapped in the Jesus flag and pissing on the Jesus fish. It's probably a demon. I'm just saying, Jeremy. I'm just saying.
Inside of him, deceiving him and telling him that he thinks he is a woman. Well, obviously, he's not a woman. He's a man. Genetic.
Obviously. You know, to Chappie. What is not necessarily obvious to the rest of the world. Who the f*** actually watches this? How many viewers does this shit have? How many Emery and Eileens are out there sitting in the Barca Lounger going, yep, praise Jesus, he's right. Here, you want something that'll give you nightmares? Millions of Americans are going, yep. I mean, I'm not saying millions of Americans are watching him. They're not. But there's millions of Americans who feel this way. He is merely an avatar of the hatred that stalks this land.
Physically, in every way, biologically, his DNA and his anatomy say that he is a man. He's born that way. His parents, the doctor who gave him birth.
Really? Mama just got kind of shuttled out of the way there. The doctor who gave him birth. Yeah, lady, you just lay there. We'll catch him. You're running.
Called him Bradley, said that he was a boy. And now he's deceived. So the demonic spirit was outside of him whispering, you feel like a girl inside. And then he had a choice. He could have said, no, I dismissed that demonic voice. I'm really a man. And he could...
And he could have, you know, become a minister and gone trolling Kmart parking lots in his Mercedes to see if he could find a rent boy for some sucky-sucky. But no, that didn't happen.
Go on with his life. Or he could contract through an act of his own free will to allow that demonic spirit to habitate inside of his mind.
Wait, there was a contract? I mean, what was it? Signed in blood and stuff? Did the devil bring a goddamn violin? Bet a fiddle of gold against his soul? What? Jesus, these people!
Inside of his head, inside of his heart, and now he proclaims through his words, I am a woman. So once he made that voluntary choice to sin, the demonic spirit was no longer outside of him. Now it's inside of him, manifesting through his behavior. And also through his lawyer's behavior.
Wait, sorry, huh? Lawyer's got a demon too, does he? Well, I mean, he's a lawyer. You know that story, right? The one where one day, just because he's feeling a little prickly and capricious, Satan turns off the electricity to heaven. You know, because heat and thermodynamics and all of that down, he's got all the power generating capacity. God gets on the phone and says, Satan, turn the power back on, Satan. Satan just says, ain't gonna. Gotta make me. How you gonna do that, God? And God says, well, I'll sue you. Satan just chuckles, hey, sure you will. Where are you gonna get a lawyer? I got them all down here. Yeah, there's that, Jeremy in Vermont. And maybe also if his father had brought him into the shower as a child and slapped him with his penis till he cried real tears, this demon wouldn't be there. Well, that's what James Dobson, proud son of the University of Southern California, would say. Back to the demons.
The Obama administration's behavior. Now President Obama, apparently, through the U.S. Army, is not only agreeing with this demonic spirit of lying, but now they're engaged in government castration of prisoners.
Chappie thinks a little bit too much about men's genitals, for don't you think? Can we take up a love offering just to, send a fifth of scotch and a good-looking young male prostitute to deliver it to Chappie, and maybe a gram of meth for him to snort or something, and just get this over with and let Chappie be Chappie? Because I tell you what, this heterosexual demon inside Chappie is really beginning to irritate the shit out of me. And of course, Obama, he's the demon in chief. He ain't got a demon in him. He are a demon.
Oh my gosh, I thought...
See?
That was cruel and unusual punishment prohibited by the Eighth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. So when the ACLU says he has a constitutional right to this castration, no...
No, dumbass! They're arguing that he has a constitutional right to gender reassignment surgery. Hey, he didn't volunteer to go to Leavenworth. The federal government wanted him at Leavenworth. So you take it's one of those ancient maxims of the law. And maybe we'll be talking about that here in a minute. It's why you take your plaintiff, or your criminal defendant in that case, as you find him. Sorry! Turn him loose! Her! God damn it! Turn her loose! Let her go out and get her own sexual reassignment surgery. This is fairly easy. And maybe, and you know what? Maybe when they turn that their penis inside out, the demon will come out. Oh, Gewalt. And, you know, no disrespect intended. And I apologize. I don't... Gender dysphoria is real, and it is painful. And for all I know, people who finally get to be who they are, people who finally get to be the gender that they are, may, for all I know, feel like they are being released from the clutches of a demon. But here's Chappie, and all he can think about in sex reassignment surgery is the balls. First of all, medical science does not use the term castration anymore, dumbass. It is referred to as a bilateral orchiectomy. And you can't do sex reassignment surgery real well leaving the testicles there in the patient, because they keep cranking out testosterone, and that runs rather contrary to the idea of the secondary sexual characteristics of the female of the species. But all he can think about is castration, got me. It's not a punishment, dumbass. I got to say this. I know, I'm talking about a visual, dancing about architecture. But the video is paused right now of the audio we're listening to. And I just happened, by virtue of by the grace of the goddess of irony, to whom I will sacrifice an entire brace of rubber chickens at midnight tonight, while tap dancing on whoopee cushions. You know, you pause a video and it just pauses, and this is real gross, and I'll probably have nightmares. But you know the face of your classic, really really inexpensive blow up doll that you can buy in cheesy little shops and things like that. You know what her mouth looks like? Yeah, that's what Chappie looks like right now. Yep, nightmares. They're on the way. My subconscious is building them even as we speak. Damn it.
Oh, the Constitution says the opposite. that you're not allowed to...
You're squeaking a little bit there, Chappie. Are you sure you got yours? You sound like you're about 13.
Treat prisoners with cruel and unusual treatment. That's clearly a violation of his chemical desires or his constitutional rights.
Yeah, chemical desires, constitutional rights, you know, 220, 225, whatever it takes. Jeremy, in all seriousness, says it's a mental prison that unless you've experienced, you'll never know. The struggle is real and the pain is fundamentally crushing some days. I have no doubt. And that's why Chelsea Manning is in solitary in Leavenworth on a suicide watch. Damn. Well, I don't know about you, but that's about all the prayer meeting Wednesday I can stand. So we'll take a break. Let's see. Thank you very kindly. We now only have one more subscription slot open in the Sochtris Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Year-long match of your new subscription. Thank you, Leo. Leo just signed up, and that subscription will be augmented by $5 a month for the next 12 months. Thank you, Leo, and thank you very kindly to Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Which also means, let's see, yeah, right. Thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa. We have knocked down half. We have knocked down half of Chris in Germany's challenge. Yay. So that means we've got $100 left on that plus $80 more, and we're out of the hole this evening. Keep that plate passed, brethren and sistren. Don't worry, the doors to the sanctuary aren't locked if you need to get out. I'm informed by Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee, that all the sanitary facilities are working just fine, and we're not going to lock the door or anything. The steam cleaning the last time I tried that little stunt was a bitch. So, just keep the plate going around. Keep it going around. Oh, come on, Jim. CFM pumps? Really? Jim says, CFM pumps. Please explain. You've got the internet, Jim. Don't make me do everything. Meanwhile, Brother Usher Steve says, the transgender demon... So wait, are we supposed to surmise that it was in being transgender and transitioning to female? That's what made her betray her country. So LGBTQ means traitorous now. I think this is where that's where this is all going. Oh yeah, that's part of it. Damn straight. And then a note from Ron and Raleigh. Well, Bob, hey, don't be Ron. You've got one gimmick. You get one gimmick, and I mean, well, Bob's okay, but I mean, don't be hollering gimmick infringement if somebody else says well, Bob. I mean, okay. I mean, I just don't want us to get all litigious. Hey, well, Bob, it's Chappie's demon haunted world, and we're just living in it. By the way, when Dim Leader was torturing all to be damned all over the world, did Chappie say a blessed word? Well, hell no. In fact, the reason he got disgraced as a chaplain and bounced out of the Navy was because he was insisting on praying in Jesus' name over the Jews and the Muslims. Yeah. Note coming from Robert in Australia. Subject line, Halloween in Australia. Halloween isn't celebrated here in Australia. After decades of American TV and movies featuring Halloween every year, we now suffer through various stores trying to force it on us. They sell, or try to sell, all the plastic Halloween crap they can get their hands on, and every year the whole concept fails to catch on. Good for you, Australia. Good for you. It's probably a Hillsong down there, Robert, praying away the Halloween. As for the devil, he's an invention of the Catholic Church created in the 12th century to explain to followers of Christ why bad things still happen to them, even though they drag themselves to church every Sunday. For any of the Horn family who have never heard it, try and find a copy of Andy Hamilton's BBC radio series, Old Harry's Game. The series is mainly set in hell, and the plot usually centers on the relationships and conflicts between Satan, his various minions, the damned, and occasionally God and the other denizens of heaven. Oh, well, I'm intrigued. It just as long as Chappie's not there. And see, that's the thing. Chappie's going to heaven with all the Christians. Anybody want to go there with Chappie? Really? Eternity? Harps? Halos? Wings? Robes? The noble, majestic graciousness? The shining countenance that no one can dare look upon? And Chappie's right there trying to figure, why am I not at the right hand of the Father? He's hanging out with Jerry Falwell and Oral Roberts and Hitler. Ah, shit. 7:11 p.m. Damn it, Gerald. So that's prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's keep the plate passing. Take a little break. So true. Will in Chicago noting, somehow I find our own evil to be enough to make the world miserable. Ain't it the damn truth? So, you know the number, right? The stress line, named for the irrepressible, immortal Bill Mr. Stress Miller, 304-663-4676. 304-663-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178. And, of course, from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. BobKincaidHorn via Skype. If you've never sent me a contact request and you want to engage in a little conversation, just send me a contact request to that handle on Skype and put a note in there saying Horn or, you know, prayer meeting, PMW, prayer meeting Wednesday, whatever. Jules, subject line, just a thought. No, Bob, you can't be damn straight if you're damn gay. Everybody's a critic. But true enough. All right, break time. I'm Bob.
From Reno, I was trailed by 20 hounds. Didn't get to sleep that night till the morning came around. Sit out, run, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Ran into the devil, baby, lonely 20 bills. Spent the night in the drawing, keep up in the hills. Sit out running, but I take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. I ran down to the levee, but the devil caught me there. He took my $20 bill and it vanished in the air. Stop running, but take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep tonight. Got two reasons why I cry away each lonely night. The first one's named Sweet Anne-Marie, and she's my heart's delight. Second one is prison baby, the sheriff's on my trail. And if he catches up with me, I'll spend my life in jail. Got a wife in Chino, baby, the one in Cherokee. Don't
first one say she got my child, but it don't look like me. Set out, run, up, take my time. A friend, the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, just might get some sleep
That's probably my, it's hard to say I've got a favorite Dead studio album, but that's got to be, well, that, Working Man, American Beauty, Working Man's Dead, Mars Hotel, hard to choose, but, yeah, oh well. I think we're done with Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I hope we are, because I'm going to have to shower with bleach as it is. Let's get down to the serious stuff. And you know, there's some serious stuff. This here being the horn and all. I suppose you saw the news. President Obama got him a veto. The only time he's had a veto overridden, and happened today. Okay, a little more Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Earther, Welcome to Heaven in the background. Hastert, Scalia, Chappie, Newt Gingrich in the future. Reagan, Roberts. Ah, yeah. You get the idea, Earther. President Obama got a veto overridden today. And, I mean, he took a thumping. 97-1 he got his veto overridden in the Senate of the United States. 97-1. Not voting, Tim Kaine and Bernie Sanders. And it was 348-77 to override the veto in the House of Representatives. Now, obviously, there are neither 348 Republican members of the House, nor are there 97 Republican members of the Senate. This was a bipartisan override. This was an override that featured the support of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer. The only person who voted against the override in the entire United States Senate was Harry Reid. A White House spokesman said this was the dumbest thing that the Congress had done since 1983. What was this? He asked, realizing that he hadn't even mentioned what legislation. It was the JAST Act, Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. This was the otherwise known as the 9/11 Victims Bill. 16 years on from September 11th, 2001, we know, and what we don't know, we strongly suspect, that Saudi Arabia, who had 15 of whom the 19 hijackers were 15 of them Saudi citizens, the families of the victims of 9/11 have wanted a day in court by which to compel the Saudi royal majestic noble headlopping graciousness, otherwise known as our partners in peace, to be called to account for their support for things that wind up promulgating terror. The bill was vetoed without a moment's thought by Barack Obama, because it overrides a long-standing legal concept called sovereign immunity. Countries cannot be sued in the courts of other countries. Being a real, live, honest-to-God constitutional lawyer, Barack Obama, who also has a phalanx of pretty sharp lawyers in his own right. I mean, we're talking about the kind of lawyers that graduate from Stanford and Harvard and Yale and whatnot. I mean, you know, not your little pissant meat and potato lawyers from state schools and all that shit. Who said, oh, no, this is a problem. And it probably will be. It's going to be a big problem. Because we're going to allow the 9/11 families, the victims, who damned well deserve their day in court, we're going to let them sue the country, you know, the royal, majestic, noble, gracious kingdom of Saudi Arabia, our head-lopping partners in peace. Okay, who are we kidding? They're goddamn barbarians. And I don't say that often. And it's not because they're Muslim, and it's not because they're Arabic, or no, it is because that is a disgusting, authoritarian, nightmare of the soul government. Pay attention. Pay attention at the pumps. Watch the petroleum futures market, because it just might go batshit any minute now. I've mentioned before that before your first cup of coffee in law school gets cold, some wizened old head will say to you, "Hard cases make bad law." I don't think there's any harder case than any litigation that rises out of September 11th, 2001. We can't even come to a national agreement or consensus or understanding of what happened that day. But by God, this is the law of the United States now. And because it is so absolutely easy, it is simple, it is the no-brainer of no-brainers to despise the Saudis. And I'm not talking necessarily about the entire citizenry. Over on Netflix, I ran across a documentary from ITV the other night, and I sort of forced myself to watch it. It was called Inside Saudi Arabia. And it was disgusting, and it was harrowing. In many ways, Saudi Arabia is as much a closed society as is North Korea. Arguably, Saudi Arabia is more brutal than North Korea. But Saudi Arabia, well, they got this stuff called oil. And so consequently, we will abase ourselves as a nation. We will humiliate ourselves as a nation to keep them happy. North Korea doesn't have anything we want. So therefore, we can be as hostile to them as we, and we can talk about their human rights abuses and their closed society, all we want. But hard cases make bad law. And this is going to be hard. Because, see, what this does, when we say that other countries could be sued in our courts and that their sovereign immunity can be thrown out the window, that means ours can too. So, let's say, for instance, that you're an innocent civilian in Yemen. And let's say that you survived one of the brutal, bloody war crimes committed by the majestic, royal, noble graciousness of the serene kingdom of his serene, majestic, noble graciousness, Highness, the King of Saudi Arabia. You know, when they bombed the living bejesus out of, say, your apartment complex. And let's say you dragged the dead but still warm, bleeding, broken bodies of your family out of the rubble, and you alone survived to tell the tale. Guess what? You ask around, you know, where would the Saudis get bombs like that? And the answer comes, well, the United States sold them to them. So maybe you'd like to engage a lawyer who would sue the United States as a state sponsor of war crimes. Well, thanks to what happened today, you can do that. Now, there are those of us, I mean, Steve, Brother Usher Steve, who also happens to be a lawyer. Subject line, the Saudis just said, next up, someone will be suing the U.S. in their courts. I can't decide if that's a bad thing. It'll happen. And in those cases where hard cases make bad law, you know who benefits by hard cases making bad law? Lawyers. And there are lawyers lining up even now. Yeah, yeah. The lawyers for the 9/11 victims' families, I want them to have justice. And for my purposes, it would be lovely if we could lay out from Alpha to Omega, from Dan to Beersheba, exactly what the hell happened and what the involvement was of the majestic, royal, noble, serene graciousnesses. Because, see, there are about a billion little Saudi princes and princelings, and they do all kinds of nasty shit. And so I guess the 9/11 victims' families, via their lawyers, will have their day in court now. But the question remains, what will that mean in the rest of the world for Merca? Because we just threw out a whole lot of international understanding. You know how it was kind of horrifying? It was about how does this matter? Does this matter to anybody? It was horrifying the other night when Donald Trump started talking about abrogating international agreements. Well, the Congress of the United States just did that by overriding this veto. There is no doubt but that the veto, from a presidential standpoint, was something he absolutely had to do. Now, I'm not gonna give Barack Obama any hell over this. I can't imagine anybody occupying the office of the presidency who would not have vetoed this. And it provides him a little bit of cover. You know, he can look at the Saudi ambassador and say, you know, I'm sorry, Your Majestic, Noble, Royal, Serene, High Graciousness, but we got a constitution over here. You know how all the time we're talking to telling you about how we really don't think you ought to be lopping the heads off of nannies because you do? You not lop the heads off of nannies because a baby just happened to die, so the nanny's from Malaysia, so you just lop her fucking head off. And you know how we tell you that we think that's pretty fucking barbaric, Your Noble, Majestic, Royal, Serene, Highness? When you come back and you say, well, you know, we have a system of laws in Saudi Arabia and a system of due process and justice, and just because it's not identical to yours doesn't mean it is less just, Allah be praised. Well, you know how you... Well, okay, we got a system, too. And I just got my ass handed to me on your fucking behalf by the Congress of the United States. Almost 8 years I've been in office, and I've never had a veto overridden. This one they overrode. And there's not a goddamn thing I can do about it. Hoo-wee. But can't you imagine the lawsuits? And don't think for a minute that there aren't some enterprising, good... You know that line from Clueless where Cher, the protagonist, says, yeah, my daddy's a lawyer. He's a litigator. You know, one of the mean ones. That! There's a lot of the mean ones out there that are beginning to, well, they smell money. And that blood smells like money. I like money. And they're sniffing around now. And they're thinking, I wonder who made... I wonder who makes those Tomahawk cruise missiles that we sent into so goddamn many mud huts. I wonder. And when a plaintiff's lawyer starts wondering about things, a plaintiff's lawyer will generally figure out who. And then the fun starts. Otherwise known as the drafting of pleadings and service of process, and discovery, and requests for admission, and interrogatories, and depositions. Steve from Georgistan asks simply, hey, Bob, do you think Congress got this one right, or have we opened a Pandora's box? We have opened a Pandora's box. When the Saudis decide to turn the tap off, and they can, because they have. Anybody remember the 70s? Bueller? Anybody? Anybody remember standing in, waiting in line to be able to buy 5 gallons of goddamn gasoline? Of course, that was before we became the largest net producer of oil on the planet. But it's still a global market. And if the Saudis decide to turn the taps off, there's a lot more people going to be a lot more fucked than we are. And they're not going to think real highly of us. Europe gets a lot of Saudi oil. They're not going to like it at all. And frankly, the Supreme Court is absolutely useless in this. Because you're probably going to wind up with a 4-4. And it'll have to go all the way through the court system anyway. And in the meantime, the Saudis, the Serene, Majestic, Royal, Noble, High Graciousnesses, are going to be shitting kittens with crocheted tails. Brother Usher Steve points out, this is what's interesting. Will Americans be able to sue our government in our courts for something like negligence over 9/11? Well, that act didn't override American sovereign immunity, and that wouldn't last for a minute, I don't think, such a claim. I mean, arguably, this is just about the Saudis. The problem is that foreign governments can pass all kinds of laws that are just about us. Maybe the Maybe the descendants of the Japanese civilians we slaughtered at Hiroshima and Nagasaki might like to take a run at us in court. Well, we're kind of at the tender mercies of the Japanese government. If they pass a law, well, we passed a law. Hmm? Yeah, maybe. How about people that were collateral damage? And see, state sponsors of, now you can always sue under the American system. You've always been able to sue state sponsors of terrorism. The only thing is, that's a short list right now that's comprised of Iran, North Korea, and Syria. You can sue them. Not a problem. This created a cause of action to sue a country that is not a designated state sponsor of terrorism. Now, there's no getting around the fact that the Saudi Royal Majestic Noble Gracious Kingdom is a state sponsor of terrorism. We just don't call them that through the Department of State. Because they're our partners in peace. And they buy a shit ton of weapons from us. I wonder how many F-35s they've signed on to buy. America's newest flying paperweight. Well, I mean, when it flies. No telling. But this is a mess. Make no mistake. And giving something that resembles justice to the families of the victims of September 11, 2001 is something we can all get behind. Goddamn right. And everybody in this country, except the people who are convinced that George Bush put on his little black hat and his little black coat and his little black boots and personally planted little black bombs all over the World Trade Center. What about Building 7? God damn it! I gotta do something, but I think that's a demon. Can agree, we'd like to know exactly what happened. We never will, but we'd like to. But this is a mess. This is a sure enough, straight up mess that one tends to think I mean, there's some highfalutin lawyers there in the Senate and the House of Representatives. 77 people did vote against it in the House. Harry Reid doesn't give a damn in the Senate. But those 77 people in the House that voted against it, their opponents back in the home districts are preparing the ads right now. Why did Bill Doberman vote against the grieving families of 9/11? Why does Bill Doberman love the Saudis more than he loves his own country? Is Bill Doberman in the pay of the royal, serene, noble, majestic, gracious house of Ibn Saud? We don't know. We're just asking questions. And Emery and Marvelline are sitting there in the goddamn Barca lounger going, fuck him. And Robert up near Morgantown just asked a similar question. Let's say you go to a wedding in Afghanistan. And you're standing there for the photographs. When a drone that you can't see and you can't hear, because it's 30,000 feet in the fucking air, drops a hellfire missile on you. Can the survivors sue the United States government for negligently killing another goddamn wedding party in Afghanistan? Well, guess what? Now that we've abrogated Saudi sovereign immunity, what's to stop the loya goddamn jirga in Afghanistan from abrogating ours? and hailing our happy asses into court and taking some interrogatories and some depositions, and hell, the way their justice system runs, maybe taking a diplomat and holding his, tying him up and suspending him over burning coals and burning the soles of his feet until he confesses that, yes, we murdered that wedding party because, you know, one man's terrorism is another man's war on terror. Tomato, tomato, potato, potato, etc. Yeah, as Jim notes, talk about a Charlie Foxtrot. Hoo-wee! Oh, yeah, this is going to be a party for the lawyers. And you know what? Some of them are going to be American lawyers. Oh, hell yeah! Have some ads translated into Pashtun and broadcast across Pakistani TV into the contested tribal border regions between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Hi, and you know, an American plaintiff's lawyer. I love them. They do great work. They're the last damn bulwark between innocent people and the predatory conduct of America's corporate class. But really, you think some American lawyer won't put on the Pakistani tribal region robes and some headgear and maybe put on a little brown face and say, "Have you been injured in an airstrike? If so, call me at the law firm of Fuck'em Harden now. I'll help you get compensation from the United States government. And hey, if I don't win, if you don't get money, I don't get paid. Call now." Yeah. And yes, Arthur, you're right. Arthur asks, weren't the ancestors of the Saudi royal family just a bunch of sand herders before the oil era, a backwater? I'm really asking for a friend, of course. Yeah, thugs. They were thugs. The royal house of Ibn Saud were thugs. And if you go back and you learn your history coming out of the First World War, most of that was all supposed to be run by the Hashemite royal family. But the royal house of Ibn Saud jumped up and had them some really sharp swords and a really wackadoodle version of their religion. And the rest, as they say, is a rather nasty and bloody history. I will, of course, get emails telling me how goddamn wrong I am about all of this. But that's what makes hard cases bad law. Because the emotional component of this, this is fuck them. Sue those goddamn Saudis broke. Get a $1 trillion judgment against the sons of bitches and attach every last goddamn piece of property they've got in the United States and to grind them into the sand. Because the Saudi royal majestic noble high gracious serene family is an odious lot, to say the very least. Their entire scam of a government is propped up on religious hatred. And what passes for their civil society is clamped down by that same religious hatred. I mean, you can't even go to Saudi as a tourist. You realize that, right? If you're a journalist, you have to get special permission to film or to report inside Saudi Arabia, and you can't go to the can without your royal, majestic, noble, high, serene Saudi graciousness minder standing over top of you to make sure that you don't say anything they don't like. That's why the ITV ITV crew had to sneak in at risk to their very existence. Then their cover got blown and they had to break camp and boogie. So, as the saying goes, you know, watch this space. This is not going to end well. And hey, just in time for the election. I have no doubt whatsoever that Hillary will do everything in her power not to even mention this, because if she does, if she, I don't know, maybe she'll try to preemptively handle it. There's no preemptively handling it. There's no right answer. This is a trick box. Because, as noted, the Saudis are nasty. And by the Saudis, I mean their goddamn government. And the people who benefit by the privilege that attaches to being of the protected class there. The people who go there to work because, well, Saudis wasn't meant to work. The Pakistanis and the Indians, the Malaysians and the Indonesians, who, the minute they arrive there, have their passports confiscated and are, for all intents and purposes, enslaved. And then there are the actual slaves. And then there's just how they treat women. There's not a goddamn thing about the Saudi government that argues or militates in their favor. And so consequently, it's going to be real easy to demagogue the living shit out of this issue. Mm-hmm. And you may rest assured that in this political season, it will be demagogued from now till November, really. And like I said, watch your gas pumps. Watch the price of fuel. Might get ugly. And just to prevent the Saudis from doing that, what we'll have to do in terms of abasing ourselves before them, if you pay close attention to it, it will be embarrassing. Greatest nation on earth. Greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe. Amen. Sweet Jesus, under God. And we will get down on the ground. I have no doubt that the U.S. ambassador to the Royal Majestic Noble Serene Highness Kingdom has already been called on the bloodstained carpet. No, we will do things to try to appease the Saudis that will make you sick at heart and sicker at stomach. Thank you, Marty. You restore my faith in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Bob, how goddamn wrong you are! Oh, that's right, I don't think you're wrong. Mm-hmm. There's a fun question. Coming from Charlie in Tennessee, justice for Rachel. Finally, if these lawsuits are allowed to proceed, will this mean justice for Rachel Corey? Fuck the Holy Roland premillennialists. No. There won't ever be any justice for Rachel Corey because ain't nobody going to pass a sovereign immunity bill to allow Israel to go and get sued. Mm-mm, no. There's only one country that we will nationally embarrass ourselves over more than we will the Saudis, and that's Israel. Because, like the Saudis, Israel is our partner in peace. Only more so. Okay, so I think we handled that. And, by the way, we are still at $100 to go to finish off the challenge put on the table by Chris in Germany. $100 to go. And that would leave $80 to go then to wipe out the rest of the deficit. And one subscription slot remains in the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. And hopefully that'll get filled. Just when you go to contribute at headonradionetwork.com, just click the little button that says make this a recurring monthly donation. And make sure I get a viable mailing address. I don't care where you work or who you work for, but I'd like to have it because, you know, we send out a little something something, you know, the horn bumper stickers, and they wanted all bumper stickers. Make sure of that. By the way. Some freedom broke out today. It broke out in South Carolina, Stan. And by freedom, I mean a shooting and a murder. 14-year-old boy. 14-year-old boy. Killed his daddy down South Carolina, Stan. Killed his daddy with a freedom protector. And then got in the car. I don't think the legal driving age in South Carolina is 14, but that's probably not going to be high on the list of charges. He'll probably be there, though. Got in his car, drove to an elementary school not too far from where he lived. And shot two children and a kid and a teacher. Shot two kids and a teacher, wounding them. A volunteer firefighter took the 14-year-old boy in hand and held him down till police arrived. This happened at Townville Elementary School in Anderson County. It's right by the Georgia line. It's about 100 miles northeast of Atlanta. As of the latest reporting, a 6-year-old boy is in critical condition and is in surgery. That according to Anderson County Director of Emergency Services Scott Stoller. Apparently, the 14-year-old only winged a female teacher, and the other boy, a student. The dead person, 47-year-old Jeffrey DeWitt Osborne. Well, his son plugged him in the chest. Still don't know exactly why it is that the 14-year-old decided to go to the school and start. Nikki is headed to Townville to offer comfort. Really nothing much to say about this. It happened. You know, and you know why it happened. It happened because we don't want to make it stop happening. We'll sacrifice grown men. We'll sacrifice elementary school teachers. We'll sacrifice little school boys. So that some pasty-faced, doughy, paranoid white guy can collect an arsenal of weapons for that arbitrary day somewhere in the future when he determines that his liberty is at risk and can stand and blaze against the tyrannical federal government when it puts its jackbooted heel down on his freedom-loving neck right next to the tattoo that says only God can judge me. God bless the Second Amendment. Keep and bear arms, NRA. Because, see, his rights are more important than the six-year-old's rights. His rights are more important than the school teacher's rights. Never mind the fact that the only time he's going to feel like he needs to protect freedom is if it involves his fucking guns. That doesn't count in Why Do You Hate America? Right? Sure. I mean, what is there something else you can say? Can you add something to that? Yeah, that's not a challenge. I'm asking seriously. Is there anything more to say every time one of these goddamned nightmare scenarios unfolds? When the NRA's roulette wheel of fucking death spins around and lands on, hey, look, Townville, South Carolina, Europe! Because I'm fresh out. And if you're going to demagogue this issue, I'm demagoguing the issue right now. I'm demagoguing the issue. Now, if Benito Cheeto, the great big steaming orange pile of shit that he is, steps to the podium and declares, Hillary wants to take away your guns, your very beautiful, very lovely, wonderful guns, your unbelievable guns. Well, that's not demagoguing the issue. That's protecting freedom protectors. See how it works? And by the way, just because we can't leave it entirely in the past, I hope somebody in Hillary's team has told her the next time he describes something as unbelievable, just turn to him and say, you're right, Donald, it's unbelievable, just like you. Because that one was hanging right... He said that Monday night, and it was hanging over the rim. And, man, I hate to see those things just bounce harmlessly away. That one should have been stuffed right through the net all the way down onto the court. Because he uses that word a lot. Oh, it's unbelievable. Because for Donald Trump, and is there some... I don't know, Doc, is there? What are you bothering me about? Well, no, when Donald Trump says that something's unbelievable and he means good, I mean, does that tell you anything, Doc?
Well, it tells me that he does not have a fundamental understanding of the language, any language. It tells me he's not a particularly smart person.
Yeah, but I mean, does it tell you anything psychological or psychiatric?
No, he's an asshole. He's unanalyzable.
Oh, well, okay. Back to your cigar. But just pay attention to his language. He uses the word unbelievable as a synonym for excellent or stupendous or fabulous or good all the time. And it begs to be put to use. Because that would burn all the way to the bone. And there wouldn't be much to be done about it. So, let's take another break, shall we? Prayer meeting Wednesday. And see what, is there anything y'all want to talk about? Or is this just going to be a three-hour filibobster? I mean, it can be that. But I don't know about you, but I get a lot more fun out of talking with y'all than I do just sort of talking at y'all. If you want to jump in on the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. The other line, 304-574-8178. and Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. $100 to go in the challenge, $180 to go in overall fundraising. I guess we'll, I don't know, while we're taking the break, I'll say a little prayer. And hope that things work out. Okay? All right, let's see if this is what I think. If I, you never know. Anyway, this is the horn. We'll be back.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup,
I say a little prayer for you.
Walk home in my hair now, I'm wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you. Forever and ever, you stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never were part, oh how I love you. Together forever, that's how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for me.
Woo, woo, woo. I run for the bus, dear. While riding, I think of us, dear.
I say a little prayer for you.
I just take time, and all through my coffee break time,
I say a little prayer for you. Forever and ever, you stay in my heart, and I will love you forever and ever. We never were part, oh how I love you. Together forever, that's how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for me.
Yeah, how could I resist on a prayer meeting Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Well, let's run over to the Skype line, wait a second. Let me make sure. Turn off the music, Bob. Yeah, okay, good. I think Tracy's waiting. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, did you see my picture? Did you see the picture?
They just landed, and I got to get to them.
Yeah, I'm not making it now. I made it earlier because I'm working. So we have meatballs. I have frozen vegetables. I'm like, okay, I'm going to make meatball soup. I have no idea how it tastes, but I haven't heard any screams from any phone calls.
Looks good enough to me. Looks real edible. They weren't Allen's green. Hey. They weren't Allen's green beans, though, were they?
No, not.
Okay, just checking because, we had a recall on those.
No. And actually, some of the meatballs are stuffed with mozzarella cheese.
Well, damn, yum. And I didn't get to do it this weekend, but Carol Baker mentioned something, a place in Kansas City that does bacon-wrapped smoked meatballs.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't Ooh. It just? So that's on the list.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm
bacon
so going to try it.
Wrapped. Smoked meatballs. So, how would you smoke the meatballs? Did you put them in like one of those pans? Did you cook, stuff that so it doesn't fall fall between the
I don't know. I figure I'm just going to fire up the smoker and keep it low and slow and walk away.
That sounds quite tasty. Bacon wrap. I saw a recipe for bacon wrap smoked pork loin.
Yeah, that did. Yeah.
And I actually bought it. I have a pork loin in the freezer. So that might be what we're having for dinner on Sunday.
I'll be right there.
Actually,
I'm going to be busy on Sunday. I'm going to be on the road.
Where are you going?
Well, I'm just going over to pick up Agnes Viking Warrior Princess and bring her back home.
Oh, she's still up with your daughter?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, how's your daughter doing? Is she better?
The surgery was pretty rough on her, but she's back nearer her old self and is telling Mama that Mama can go home Sunday.
Okay. Well, I'm glad they finally got her, because I know that the last time I heard.
It was a Herculean effort, but yeah, the surgeon did a good job. And she's healing up, and I guess maybe she finally gets to go back to work second week of October. Because, see, apparently, when you've got a rotten, hyperactive thyroid and you do surgery, it's a little dodgier than just the people with ordinary thyroids.
Right. Right. Ugh. You know, it's hard being a parent of a grown-up, isn't it?
It ain't. I used to think that, well, you know, they're kids. We just got to get them done with being kids, get them out into the world, and then we're home free. Nope.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, sorry, no.
No. See, I have two if you include Jan.
Oh, you're not within earshot, are you?
No.
You got three if you count Kimba.
Right. That hellion. So I bought her a new harness. You know, the ones so you could do the front lead.
Did she eat it for a snack?
We're having our front yard landscape. And so, of course, Kimba wants to go outside and play with the gardener, and she can't do that. And then she, of course, whenever they come in the house or by the house, she's running toward the door. She actually got out the other day, and we had to, chase her down because she's so stubborn and hard-headed. She comes to you when she feels like it. But
somebody's going to be going to school a lot more.
Yeah. So we got her back in the house. So I got her this harness, and, it was the front lead, so it has, the thing to attach her to the front, and it's what they call a gentle tether, so she can still move but not so far because she's so strong that Jan can't hold on to her, but we can kind of tether her. So Jan, so this morning, she's like, oh my gosh, she's been exceptionally good and da da da. And then she looks down at the harness and she's like, why is it fitting so funny? She's like, well, maybe, mommy me being me put it all wrong because, I don't know how to redirection. But the little heifer chewed through it and just was looking at mom, like Jan, like what? I was just like, oh my God. And
looked like a snack. Tasted like a snack. It was a snack.
Right. It's leather. So it used to be beef. So what's the problem, Mom?
Yep.
So she chewed through that. Welcome
to dog ownership. Yes.
Right. And then, So the meatballs, the pictures of meatballs that I sent you was for my meatball soup.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided to do rolls. Now, I'm not making the rolls from scratch because I don't.
Thawing them out, are we?
Yeah. So we got to thaw it out. They got to rise and all that. And, so Jan heard this commotion in the kitchen. And she's like, but then it was quiet, so she didn't, pay any attention because one of the things that's happening is because we're clearing the side of the house, was like there was a lot of overgrowth. so there's been a lot of lizards running around. And the lizard got into the house, so Jeff thought maybe Kimba saw the lizard and was chasing after the lizard or one of the lizards. And so, but then she's like, wait a minute, why is this quiet? Yep, she had jumped up on the counter and taken four of the rising rolls.
Well, of course.
They haven't been cooked or anything like that, but it doesn't matter because, you know, Kimba. So, yeah.
They ain't gotta be cooked. They're tasty.
They're tasty. It's yeast, Mommy. Isn't yeast good? Next weekend, next Thursday, as a matter of fact, we're taking her to have her lady's parts fixed. If you know, so
yeah, right.
Jan keeps trying to
you'll sleep. You will sleep better than the first time she gets out and goes walkabout.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you don't want that to happen. You think it won't happen? It'll happen.
It'll happen. So we finally decided, because there's two schools of thoughts now on getting girly dogs fixed. There's the school of thought, you know, old school about just give them, you know, at 5-6 months or what have you. But then now there's this new school of thought about not getting them fixed until after they've had their first heat. Because it's...
Oh, see, that's what I always heard. That's the old school.
Right. See, I guess out there, but out here, we always, from what I've been told, you got them fixed before their first heat. So out in your neck of the woods is after their first heat?
Yeah, I mean, that's like decades ago.
So that's weird, because like I said, everybody that, all this, you know, the vets and stuff, you know, I mean, this is like I said, it's new out here for what, because even Jan's brother, who is a duck hunter, so he has labs, and, he's always gotten them fixed within, you know, their 6 months or whatever. And even he's saying that his vet and some of the dog owners are now talking about getting them fixed after their first heat. So we just, you know, we said, I'd just rather get it done. So we're getting her fixed. So, yeah, this is going to be the fun part because, like you said, if she ever gets out, I don't want to be a grandmother. The only way I want to be a grandmother is if my son decides to finally grow up and, you know, decide what he wants to do with the rest of his life. And I finally have become a grandmother. But I have a feeling that my son probably would be living with me for the rest of my life. I'm hoping that he'll get some kind of, gumption or drive or something. I don't know. I don't know if this is a millennial thing. I don't know. But that's a conversation that I've you know, he keeps saying he's going back to school and all this, and I'm like, I just hate the fact that he's and it's my fault because I let him get comfortable. You know, I don't force the stuff, and I'm like, I need to start because I used to. But I have to admit, I do love the fact that my son is home, and plus he can reach tall things. Stuff on the higher shelf and stuff below because I can't. There's a purpose, but he needs to do something with the rest of his life. It's just that you can't. That's the part about being a parent of an adult child. How do you balance when to push and when not to push? You know.
Yeah, because it's not the same authority dynamic you have when they're a child.
No. But then again, you don't want to, you know, alienate. It's awful. It's exhausting, but, you know, it is what it is. But other than that, speaking of school, I will be starting back to school in January. Yay. I finally found a program that works for me. The school is called California Southern University. They have rolling enrollment. There's no semesters. They have classes that start monthly. The tuition is a quarter of what I was paying before. And they believe in their students graduating debt-free. So you make monthly payments towards your tuition. None of this getting, you know, these stupid astronomical loans, which is excuse me. The only thing that sucks.
I'm going to ask a nosy question, and it's kind of loaded, but brick and mortar or online?
Online, 100% online. I cannot. I would. That's another reason why it's so hard. Cause I have horrible ADD, and my time is just really. It's hard for me to concentrate and go to school and stay in class and stuff like that. It's terrible. And I set the deadline as well.
Do your homework. Make sure they're legit. Not a, you know.
I'm
sure you already have. Hey, I gotta back us up a conversational space. Just got an email in from Artis in regard to fixing Kimba. Artis says, best for bladder control if one can wait until after the first heat. I speak from experience.
So, really? Well, the thing is about Kimba, we've never had issues with bladder control.
Yeah,
ever.
You might.
So
well, but you might.
Oh, God. Seriously? I had to start the potty training all over again?
So now
we need to get into the bladder control thing.
So, at least ask your practitioner if that's an issue.
I'll have Jan call tomorrow. Because her appointment is down until next week. So we can change it. It's just so funny. It's because I took her for her follow-up appointment to get the last of her shot. And she got her on the scale, which was fun because, of course, being Kimba, she's not just going to step on the scale because she's Kimba. So I had to pick her up and put her on the scale. Mm. She weighs 53 pounds. 53 pounds.
And how old?
6 months.
Yeah. You're going to have you big dog.
I'm going to have me a big dog. I mean, and she's solid. It's not like she's chunky. She's just all muscle. She's lean. And I'm like, when I picked her up, I said, Jesus. And like I said, she's so, and when she plants her feet, when she doesn't want to do anything, you can't move her. You cannot. You cannot. I mean, if there was ever she is my child. I mean, because when I plant my feet on something, I will not budge. This is my position and that's it. So yes, this next few months, I mean, she's getting better because like you said, we talked earlier about, a few days ago about, her obedience classes. Those classes are for her. They're for me.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are. Hey, can I ask you a Southern California geography question?
Sure.
And I'll preface this by saying I was listening to the Mountaineer football broadcast last week as we were playing the BYU Cougars, and they had some guy from ELCAJON, and the play-by-play guy
Delta
for the
home?
Yeah, well, no, not according to the Mountaineer play-by-play guy. That was El Cajun. Well, L.A., Los Angeles, L.A., Louisiana,
El Cajun.
El Cajun, yeah, damn right. I heard it. Son of a bitch, But it is. It's El Cajon, isn't it?
Yes, it is El Cajon. There was another shooting.
Yeah, and where? Yeah. Where is it?
El Cajon is on the way to San Diego, so it's southern. El Cajon is south of me.
Palm trees, warm, lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Upscale, middle class, what?
Upscale, middle class. There's some parts that aren't, but for most, it's typical Southern California. There's parts, but mostly middle class and upper. So the fact, and mostly white, so, it stands to reason that if you call for help because your brother's having a mental health crisis, instead of sending, the people that are trained for that, they send the cops, and they kill them.
One witness said, I didn't hear any command of halt or stop or stop and I'll shoot. And I didn't hear any command or yelling. I didn't hear the man say anything. Next thing I see, pow, 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 five shots.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the police then said, well, you know, he was being non-compliant.
Non-compliant.
We talk about, are there real world fixes for this sort of thing? And maybe one of them is to re-examine the concept, Tracy, of compliance.
Yeah.
I mean, if we, and I'm not comparing the two, and I don't want to get in trouble for doing this, but, you know, language gets us in trouble because we are, you know, we're humans and we're prone to making mistakes. So, I mean, for instance, in the legal concept of rape, consent, what consent means is an issue. And in the Derrick Rose case that's going on, you know, New York Knicks basketball player Derrick Rose.
Oh, no, I missed that one. I'm so busy listening and hearing about
about
people being raped.
There's a gang rape trial starting next week involving Derrick Rose of the Knicks. And they're slut shaming the bejesus out of the victim to the point that the judge had to warn the lawyer if he engaged in any more of it at trial or even in his motion practice, he would sanction the lawyer.
Wow.
So, but the idea of what constitutes consent is a problem.
Yes, it is.
Because, see, a lot of us over here on this side of the fence, we think that no means goddamn no.
And if you're not conscious, you know,
you're not capable of right. You're not capable of consent. Right.
Yeah, if you're drunk off your ass, you're not capable.
But
diminished capacity.
And so when I read the El Cajon story, or El Cajun, as we say here in West Virginia.
No, I like El Cajun. That's awesome, actually.
yeah, spread the word, would you? this idea, because, you know, we've seen, this is not the first time compliance is an issue. I mean, you can argue that Keith Scott was gunned down over a compliance issue.
Right.
Of course, they are.
Now, what's wrong with Keith? He's the one in Charlotte, right? Because, like I said.
Right.
I lose track.
And you know, by eyeballing Betty Shelby, Terrence Crutcher in Tulsa was non-compliant.
Because he looked at him.
He violated the eyeball rule.
Mm-hmm.
But this concept of compliance is one of those, I think it's one of those real world places where we could examine policing activity, policing conduct, and maybe come up with a different way to, because, see, if you're in the middle of a mental breakdown,
you're not going to be compliant.
Compliance is not high on your list. And it's not just non-compliance with the cops. It's, in some instances,
anybody.
Ability to comply with reality.
Exactly.
But non-compliant white folks seem to get shot by the police a lot less often than non-compliant black folk.
Well, they get shot with beanbags, Bob.
Tasered, maybe pepper sprayed.
Maybe pepper sprayed, tasered.
But this is, you know, this is not going well. It started yesterday afternoon. There was a call of a 30-year-old erratic subject. And the NBC 7 story says when officers arrived on scene, the man did not comply with them.
He's having a mental...
Jesus. Meanwhile, Michael Ray Rodriguez said he was driving along with his wife when he saw what was going on. He said, when I seen the suspect, he had his hands up. I seen two officers with their firearm on him. Man's hands are up, no shirt. He didn't have no shirt. And while the man was still alive, the police blocked him from view in three directions. And that's when the pow, 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 pow happened.
Right.
So maybe, maybe it'd be a little, yeah, we don't want any of that nasty video getting out now, do we?
No, we want to make sure nobody's And I've been hearing, because station I listen to, Pacifica Radio, KPFK.
Yeah.
I was saying how there's accusations that the cops were making people give up their, were taking people's cell phones. That, you know, because they videoed.
Yeah, they took away the cell phone from a woman who shot, who videoed the event from a place called Los Panchos Restaurant. She voluntarily turned over the phone and they because they came and took it away from her. Because, you know, if they'd said, give me the phone, and she'd said, ha-uh, they'd have said, some bitch, you're being non-compliant. Pow, 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 pow.
What people need to start doing if they're, you know, if they're in areas where they're filming, where they're, you know, they're filming in their own Facebook Live. So what if you take my phone? It's live on Facebook.
Well, but we know that unlike the human female body, Facebook has ways of shutting that stuff down.
That's true, but for the most part, I don't know. Well, at least there'll be somewhere else that has there's a record of it, even if they did shut it down. I don't know. I'm just tired. Did you see the little girl speaking in front of the Charlotte legislature?
No.
She's a little black girl that you ever want to see, and she's in front. I'm tired of being treated differently because I'm black. I've never felt this way before until now. And she's in tears. You got to find it, Bob. It's on Chicken Noodle News, ABC.
Okay,
ABC.
I will.
You have to find it and play the audio.
But I'm going to need some tissue.
Yeah, I was sitting in my car watching it earlier this morning, and I was in tears. Because I don't want us to go. I want my mommies and daddies to be by my side. I don't want to go to the graveyard.
Oh, Jesus.
I think she's maybe 7 or 8 years old. I don't even think she's that old. And she's been standing there crying, and I can only imagine the stone-faced white people. I mean, I don't know what the Charlotte legislature looks like, but I can only imagine. You know, but for her to say, I've never felt
it's not real tan.
Right. But for a child who should be allowed to be a child, for her, I dare anybody to listen to that audio. It's hard. It'll be hard to listen. I mean, but if you watch it, just have the tissue ready and somebody to hold you with, or your blanket to hold on to, your security blanket or something, because it's going to leave you stiff.
Wonder if maybe I should wait till Agnes gets home.
You might need to watch it so you can prepare Agnes for it.
Okay.
It's just. Because I posted it on my Facebook page, but the one that I posted, there's one that's even longer than that one. The one that I posted only had part of the her testimony. There's another one that was on ABC World News Tonight that has the whole thing.
Well, I just got a hockey puck warning from Marty. He said, "Be careful about going into the comments section." On some of those not quite so progressive websites.
Oh, see.
After you've listened to this girl's speech.
Oh, no. See, I know better because, see, you're the sucker for doing that. Because, see, after you watch that video.
Hey, don't blame me. Apparently, Marty's already been there.
Well, Marty, you should know better. I'm mad at you, Marty. I'm mad because you know better. Because, see, I deliberately avoid. So going to the comments sections, unless it's posted on Black Lives Matter, or you know, like you said, more progressive websites or what have you, because I'm already upset, and I'm already, you know, like I said, hashtag exhausted. It's exhausting being black in America. So I'm already, and then I'm a mom. And if somebody made my baby cry like that, the whole mama bear thing kicks in. So it's just best that I don't read those comments, because I can only imagine. Because my brain went there after I finished watching it, and I cried because I'm sitting in the parking lot at the bank because, yeah, I was brilliant. I left the house this morning without any credit cards or my debit cards. So I actually physically had to go into the bank. But, of course, I didn't realize I didn't have it until after I ate my breakfast this morning. And I'm in a restaurant. Thankfully, it's a restaurant that I'm a regular at. But I had cash, so I was fine. But it's like, ooh. So I'm already, so I'm reading this, and I'm watching this, and I'm, getting myself together to go in the bank. And what I'm thinking is, as I'm watching this little girl in tears, I'm thinking about what the horrible, bigoted, racist assholes are saying in the comment section. Because I already know what the comments are going to be, because that's the world we live in. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go. Because I've made the mistake on one or two occasions to read the comment section. And now I just don't.
Well, I'll tell you what, since I've got you here to hold my hand, metaphorically speaking, I've got a clip of it up here.
I think you should play it for
Let's just sort of share it together as the community, shall we?
As the community, yes, because this is a hand holding. Everybody, get your tissues out and just be ready.
Her name is Ziana Oliphant. And this is at a Charlotte City Council meeting. Well, let's just give it a listen.
Let's just do it.
We are black people, and we shouldn't have to feel like this. We shouldn't have to protest because y'all are treating us wrong. We do this because we need to and have rights.
Go ahead. Let her talk. Go ahead.
I've been born and raised in Charlotte, and I never felt this way till now. And I can't stand how we're treated. It's a shame that our fathers and mothers are killed and we can't even see them anymore.
That's right.
It's a shame that we have to go to their graveyard and bury them. And we have tears and we shouldn't have tears. We need our fathers and mothers to be by our side.
Bless her poor little heart. Damn.
Man, my heart broke. I just.
And Marty means for me to understand that there are assholes out there attacking that child. Oh, Jesus.
Like I said, I already knew because, I've been black and a woman all my life. So I already know where they're going to go with this. So again, I'm just like, yeah, no, I'm not going to read the comments. Because if I do.
Yeah, just as well.
It's going to be bad. It's just, because it's just going to, have anger that is not going to do any good. And, unless I could take that anger and channel it into something else. But it's just, and these are grown-ups that are going to be making fun of this poor baby.
And
I mean, does she
not
making fun of people? You know, the Muslim family, you know, whose son gave his life for this country, and he has never even thought about serving in the military. But you know, he's Donald Trump.
Man, it defies my ability to even put myself in that position, because I don't know what I would do if that was my granddaughter.
Right, exactly. See, you and I, we're human beings, and you know, we're parents, and you're fortunately a grandparent, but we're both parents, and we know that hurt. I think I've told you guys the story of when I was in kindergarten. You know, when that's when you learn how to write your name. And I spelled my name out for the first time and all proud and everything. But the white teacher said to me that I spelled my name wrong. Now, you're telling this to a five-year-old, okay? So how that little girl was crying was pretty much how I went home crying to my mother. Okay,
but see, she's what seven?
Seven.
And I don't, you know, how many other voices are there more valid than hers?
Right.
Because that's the world she's growing into. She didn't choose it. She didn't have any say so. She's growing into that world. That's the world that has been created for her.
For her.
To be a part of. Absent any consent whatsoever on, oh damn, there's that word.
Consent.
Or compliance.
Or compliance. Because what's to stop her from being, how old was Tamir Rice when he was murdered?
12.
So, this does far-reaching to think that something like that could happen to her. And it's a valid, no little person, and nobody that sweet, should ever have to live in fear. She's like, living in fear and tears? She should, the hardest thing on her mind should be what color dress to buy her baby dog, to dress her up in.
Yeah.
That is
what to wear to school the next morning.
You know, when am I going to play, you know, I don't know, do little girls still jump rope?
I don't know. Maybe the virtual jump rope, that's part of the problem?
yeah.
You know, in the context of all of this, just a little mention for folks. Today, in the second hour of his program, Dr. Bill took on the 1895 speech in Atlanta by Booker T. Washington.
Oh, wow.
And he also noted W.E.B. Du Bois' critique of it.
Yeah, I did a paper of that on my own time.
And the massive amount of hell that Booker T. Washington caught for what he said.
He caught particular hell.
But Dr. Bill being Dr. Bill, you know, he doesn't just toss something out on the table and walk away.
No, he doesn't do the mic drop and walk off.
Because in a way the way that Dr. Bill addressed that is he was saying that Booker T. Washington was offering a prophecy, and it was a prophecy that came true. You know, either we all go forward together and build something in the South, or this community, 33% of the entire population of the South, is going to be a millstone holding back progress because you don't want to include us.
Right.
And
but even when
didn't it come true?
Yeah, you don't want us to go forward. I mean, and even when we built our own community, you know, Rosewood.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Tulsa, you know, was it Oklahoma? Where did they burn down the city? The new.
Tulsa.
Tulsa. What is it about Tulsa? I thought it was Tulsa. Okay, so you don't want us in your community. Fine. We'll go elsewhere. You won't have to do business with us. You won't have to look at us. We'll have our own schools. We'll have our own city council. We'll have our own markets, our own businesses, because y'all don't want us within. So fine. We'll go about our business. Cool. We're good. I'm good. We're cool. But then when we go and make our own way, like you've been wanting us, you know, because those are the same people who tell us to go back to Africa or whatever. So we can't go back to Africa. Marcus Garvey tried. We can't do it. So.
And the reason I brought that up, Tracy, is because, you know, there are reverberations of what he said and what other portions of the movement said, contrary, and they're echoing down to this day. And they echo in little Miss Oliphant's words. Because she's talking about a world that, and what must it be, Tracy, to be 7 years old and realize that there is a significant portion of the population of your community that doesn't want you in it? Because, see, there is nothing in the white experience that compares with that.
Nope.
Because even if you are the most ignorant, knuckle-dragging redneck, you know that you are living in a place where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. But where do you go?
Right. And in a, you know, once, you know, in the days of Booker T. Washington and before, you know, there were places where free people of color went and had communities.
Right.
And many of them were in the North. Although there was a substantial free black community in, of all places, Charleston, South Carolina. That's how Mother Emanuel got born.
Mm-hmm.
But where in the United States do you go now? I don't mean you, Tracy. Yeah. I don't mean, you know, you people. But
No. I know you. I have these conversations. I had a conversation today with my pastor of my church about, you know, we're going through this transition. And I said, you know, when we're going through this, because we had two gap pastors, and now we finally have our interim pastor who's there to help get us back, you know, single foot, you know, moving forward. But I told him, I said, you know, we had two gap pastors before you, and there was a faction within the church that, you know, all white, that has these pastors' ears, but the people of color in our congregation felt we didn't, our verses weren't heard, or better, or even worse, they didn't care. And this is our church. I said, so, you know, we don't have, you know, when I was growing up, we had South Central, we had Inglewood, we had Watts, or what have you. And then, you know, people started moving out to, you know, Rancho Cucamonga, Palmdale, and all that. So within our, in Los Angeles, there's no, you know, quote unquote, black community as far as, you know, parts of the LA. We don't have that anymore. There's no sense of community. And like you said, there's no place that we can just be and have our own shop. Because where we did have these shops and restaurants and clubs and stuff like that, they used to be, you know, we moved in and the white people moved out. And now the white people are coming back. So now those spaces where we could afford to live are becoming gentrified. And Malcolm would say the chickens are coming home to roost. Because people can't afford to, you know, live in these, you know, these neighborhoods where, you know, they fit in, but they may fit in skin color wise, but they don't fit in pocketbook wise. Even parts of East LA, where that was all Hispanic. It used to be Jewish before that, but now, after World War II, it became, you know, primarily Hispanic.
even East LA is becoming gentrified. And what tickles me was when they people move in and then they start complaining about the neighborhood. Well, this the mariachi music or this and that, and they're like, and people are like, but these are their neighborhoods. You know, we were here first.
And you know, there's a little bit of carryover to that, Tracy. Hipsters who have money and move out into the country. Because, you know, the lovely bucolic, pastoral, rural settings. And, you know, they'll move in next to a cattle farm and, wait a minute, this smells like shit. And why is that rooster and why is that rooster crowing at 4:30 in the morning? Can't you do something about your rooster? Well, goddamn, you moved to the country, baby.
Well, it's like those people who complain, classic example, Hollywood Bowl and Greek Theater down out here, you know, in amazing and high-end parts of town, you know, and then people complain about the music. It's like, wait, hold up. It wasn't like they just built
right, in the law, you can't move to a nuisance and then complain about the nuisance.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Tracy, I got to roll because I want to get a couple more calls in, but it's awfully good to hear from you, dear.
What's happening with fundraising today?
We are, I'm happy to report, Mighty Mouse just told me we're $75 away from meeting Chris's challenge and $155 away from knocking it all the way down.
Okay, $25 challenge.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly. So that will, if somebody will meet Tracy's challenge, that'll take us down to only $25 to meet Chris's. So that's huge. That is huge, Tracy. Thank you.
It's huge.
Huge. Yeah. Dadgummit, I was going to the other phone, and now the other phone is... okay. Well, all right. Here we go. Tracy, you have yourself a good evening, dear. And tell Kimba to making snacks out of the clothing. Later. Our buddy Tracy. And I think I accidentally. Okay, yeah, I just screwed up. I cut Tracy off, but hey, there's Todd. Hey, Todd.
Yo, man.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm lit.
I'm sorry.
I'm lit.
You're lit.
I like to be drunk. Goddamn cheap beer. You know what I mean?
Oh, what's that nasty stuff they sell at Wally World? But that not that cheap, right?
No, it's a good cheap beer.
The good cheap beer.
Yeah, it's a good cheap beer. But look, peripheral, listen. We're in some fucked up territory.
Yes, we are.
I mean, and you know me, I'm all about to see C-SPAN in the morning.
Oh, I see. We were watching Washington Journal, and that's what sent us out to the Quick Pack, right?
Man, that shit will fucking... That will take your ass to goddamn rehab in a fucking minute. What? That shit is... I'm telling you. Motherfuckers need to know, man.
See, Todd, I used to talk about the crazy shit that I would see on Morning Joe, and I'd get all these emails going, Bob, why do you do it to yourself? Okay, so I gotta turn that around. Todd, why are you doing it to yourself?
No, man, wait a minute. You know about me and Flayton Joe. I'm done with them. Wait a minute. I am so done with them motherfuckers.
Yeah, but you're not doing yourself any favors on Washington Journal.
No, that's the real deal.
Aren't there any reruns of Robot Chicken or anything?
Listen, Americans need to know where they stand. Listen, these are the people who, like I've been saying. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I am all about Nate Silver, right? He is fucking... He was wrong, like everybody was wrong. With nobody, in other words, nobody really anticipated the deep, disgusting racism that was in this country. I mean, this is like three generations old. It's like, what the fuck? Where did this shit come from? But it's here, so we got to deal with it. right?
Yeah.
I mean, I left that shit in PA, and that shit, you know the shit's here with the fucking the flag, you know, so...
Well, you got you a brand new school shooting down there now.
Oh, see. Look, man, I don't even know where to go with that. I don't even talk about the gun guns, pop-pop, you know. I would prefer to talk about pop-pop ass, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I know.
And motherfuckers would be better off. But look, I was a couple seconds. But Tracy just, I was just, right.
Letting go now. Letting everything
okay.
go.
Yeah. All right. Now I can be. All right. Fine. Yeah. I'm good. Right. So this is where we are. All right. Now, if people do not understand Washington Journal this morning, and remember, these are motive. See, this is what Nate Silver does not get. You know, he cannot catch the nuance of this particular demographic. All right, these people, they vote. These do you know how long I've gotten in one time? I did that shit one time. I was like, I'm not devoting fucking 45 minutes. You gotta be near the phone. Fuck that. I mean, I don't give a fuck. I mean, no, fuck that. But to listen to America talk, all right, this is the pulse of the nation. This is the nuance that Nate Silver missed. See, these motherfuckers are still on Trump. And then I think about the people that I know, the black guys, right, my fucking boys who went to business school. And I said business. Yes, I did. I didn't say business. I said business, right?
Now, you speak the language.
Well, it is what it is. What it is. Look, I knew when I was like 16, 17, if it wasn't dope money, I wasn't chasing it. Because, I knew it was evil. You know, once the education got to me, man, I was like, oh, fuck. See, that's why the FARC is turning around. I'm down with the, I mean, I've always been down with the fucking FARC and the goddamn IRA, all that shit. You know, because they're the real deal. I mean, there's a reason that people are revolting. Fight the system. You know what I'm saying? Rage against the machine. But anyway, because, I mean, I'm the dude. They got my picture. FBI, I got my picture, man. I had the union banner, and I saw these people taking pictures of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm fucking... Anyway, I'm going to bring that shit up. Look. We have to fight. This is not about good and evil. This is about, are we going to do the right thing or are we going to do the wrong thing? And the fact that people are undecided this morning, how the fuck can you be undecided?
Oh, I understand now. I understand. You heard from America's undecideds, didn't you?
Man,
yeah, that'll push you right into the brown paper bag quicker than anything in American politics.
Listen, you remember yesterday I was talking about, all right, I felt better. Right, because Trump, he was Trump, but yo, man, there's a whole lot of people out here, man. I don't know. It does not look good. I mean, this shit ain't looking good. It ain't looking good. Because his people don't care. They don't give a fuck about no taxes. They already said, we don't care about the tax. But see, they don't get the nuance. They don't care the who he might owe. He went over there, like, don't get me wrong, I like Putin for bombing ISIS because he did this shit before we did. Even though they're us and we don't acknowledge that they are us, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's just disgusting. So what I'm trying to say is that there's a whole, when you have an uninformed populace, bad shit can happen. and it looks like it's about to fucking happen.
Well, look, everything that the framers wrote in the Federalist Papers, based on what I've learned from Dr. Bill, was predicated on, I mean, even the way they set up the early electoral system, and I am not endorsing it. But everything that they wrote, everything they set up systemically, was based upon people running government, so-called self-government, you know, white property-owning male self-government, being in a state of informed participation. Madison later comes along and says, you know, we're going to have to expand the franchise. But it's still and even Jefferson is babbling along about how, you know, he's going to have this nation of self-actualized, fully informed agrarian philosopher poets out there tilling the soil and getting all Oliver Wendell Douglas with the fife and drum corps and the tiny shoots sticking their heads out of the earth and all of that.
No, no, no.
And the thing is, that ain't Merca.
No, can't be.
Anti-intellectualism, as it was described in the late 50s and early 60s, maybe it was a trend then, it's a thing now. And so you got people proudly talking about how they're going to vote for Trump. Or in the case of the people that sent you over the edge this morning, Todd, people going, I don't know, between Trump and Hillary, I just don't know.
See, everything old is new. Exactly. That's exactly my fucking point. You know, remember, when I had to take the old people, yeah, remember, I'm a caretaker. I made $500 last year, my W-2. I just, $500. But that's okay. When the old people die, I'm out of here. I'm fucking done. But that's okay. I have an education. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck. But what I'm saying is that average America, middle America, they don't fucking get it because they have been dumbed down now. And I have to call Dr. Bill, but his schedule has been so sketchy.
Well, but see, you can say, wait, Todd, you can say they've been dumbed down. I can agree that they've been dumbed down. But if you talk to the dumbed down in America and say, well, you've been dumbed down there, I ain't neither. I'm smart as you is, and I'm voting for Trump because he's going to make America great again.
But, you know, see, this is where we got to come. This is why you got to give anybody you know who works in the office, people who vote. Like, some of those motherfuckers don't vote, but a lot of them do. Right? You got to concentrate on people who do vote. Right? And let them know that just because you're ignorant, don't feel bad, but you're being taken advantage of. And you have been for a long time. And this, how the fuck are you bringing back this trickle-down shit? John Stockton, I think
not John Stockton, David Stockman. I think that's who you're thinking about.
David Stockman. Okay.
Because they never understood it in the first place, okay? And what you're describing is the scene from Idiocracy where the guy tells Not Sure that he's tarded. He says, "Oh, but don't feel bad, man. Don't feel bad. My ex-wife's tarded and she's an airplane pilot." Tarded, and I don't even, you know, I don't like that concept. It's offered in the context of comedy. And
cut to the chase.
And we're there, okay? You know, I'm smart as the next guy. I got to vote. I'm going to vote for Trump because he likes the uneducated. But I got to get out of here, Todd, because, damn, it's 1 minute till.
Hey, man. Look, MM and you, go for it.
All right. Later, peace Todd. Out. Don't watch Washington Journal tomorrow, okay? I'll see you, man. And so we find ourselves at the end of Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And we've got a $25 challenge on the table, courtesy of Tracy, which will knock down Chris's challenge to only $25 to go, which means we got $75 to go on Chris's challenge, $25 after Tracy's challenge is met, and then $80 beyond that, and we've filled in the hole, which is freaking awesome. So y'all have a good evening, a lovely remainder of your evening. Most of you heading over to Malloy Land, most likely. Wow, Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. What makes me think we're going to be busy? Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all you do to keep this going. Thanks for your participation. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Join us October 17th in Charleston for the Save Cold River Mountain Rally. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.